Welcome to Turkey Crossing, everyone. This is Paul Bogish, and thank you for stopping by to hang out with me while we talk about how to get our kids to solve problems, collaborate, create, innovate, dialogue, and get their imaginations cranking, all while using Classroom 2.0 tools and not forgetting that the most important thing in the world is not an online connection, but a teacher-student connection. So relax, close your eyes, unless you're driving, eating, or skydiving, and open your mind for another edition of Turkey Crossing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Turkey Crossing podcast. This is Paul Bogish, and thank you very much for stopping by and taking the time to listen. Today's podcast, I'm telling you, I'm running a streak of no longer doing podcasts from my bike. For those of you that this might be your first one ever, I normally would record my podcast as I'm riding my bike into work, but the last several have been off bike and in odd places. This one is not in any strange place. I'm actually just sitting on the deck rail outside my house, and I didn't do this one on my bike. I'm not waiting till tomorrow morning, because there is something I actually want to read word for word, and that would be a little hard to do on the bike. The inspiration for this podcast. Today was our day before the first day of school, and it has all the obligatory meetings that go along with that, and I'm sure every other school district experiences. The first meeting of the day was all staff members go to one of the high school auditoriums, and you listen to a parade of speakers: the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, the board of ed, the assistant board of ed, all these different speakers. And just as everyone's attention was kind of waning and fading, and everyone was really thinking about what they can do in their classrooms, they did a Teacher of the Year presentation. And what they did is they actually did it differently this year. They nominated one per school, and they all came up, and then they did the Teacher of the Year for Wallingford, Connecticut. And her name was Karen Ripa. I have a little history with her because, and I am going to forward this to Karen, and so if she's listening, I feel a little funny saying this, but I carry some intense guilt with something I did with Karen and one of her teammates a few years ago. We were supposed to work on a project together, and it just never got completed. And I swear there's not a month that goes by without me feeling guilty about not having that been completed. Kind of derides me and saying, when you say you're going to do something and it never gets done, and sorry, Karen, if you're listening to this. But anyway, Karen is called to the podium, and she does a little speech. And again, it was, and Karen, if you are listening, please give me a couple of minutes, because the beginning's not going to sound so good. She gets up there and she starts talking, and I was like, holy cow, I got to get back to my classroom. And she mentions something about Leo Tolstoy and a book she does in her class with kids, and I didn't quite catch what it was, and I didn't quite catch what the title was, The Three Questions. I didn't quite catch what the three questions were. No fault of hers, it just, I had been zoning out, and now I was, coming back in. And it was just a very short little story, and what really grabbed my attention is she didn't get up there and, demand for more rigor and demand for, this, that, and the other thing. And I'll tell you, I don't, she might have had a different plan in what her message would be, but, she told the one little story that really hit me, that I absolutely love, and it was something along the lines of, when little Bobby's driving you crazy and all you want to do is go and pull out your hair sort of thing, what he needs from you more than ever in that moment is just for you to sit and listen. And I think, I know I'm definitely a person who needs to be reminded of that. I think that is so important, more important than any academic thing. But you know, when she said that, when she told that little story, it totally snapped me out of my frenzied getting ready for the kids coming the first day. And, you know, kind of reminded me to slow down and remember to listen to each one. And tomorrow, on the first day of school, it's not about me doing my big show. It is about them, and to listen. And then she put on a video. And again, stick with me, Karen, if you're listening to this. She put on a video, and I'll tell you, it was that song, which I think was so overplayed, that, you know, Children Are Our Future song, Teach Them Well and Let Them Lead the Way. And I was like, holy smokes, not this song. Not the overplayed Children Are the Future song. And it was obviously going to have some slides of children, and I was like, ugh, here comes the overplayed song with the pictures of the kids with some words overlaid, or she's going to talk and, you know, say some words over it. And I'm sitting there waiting for the words, and I'm waiting for her to talk, and neither one happened. She just let the song play with these images of children. You know, happy kids, innocent kids, kids from all backgrounds and colors and places. And I'll tell you, it really hit something in the core of my being. I don't know what happened, but I was really overtaken. And, you know, my testosterone and machismos usually tends to stop my tears from flowing. And I won't say that I had them dripping down my cheek, but I felt my eyes well up with tears. And I tell you, after a summer of spending so much time, more time than I ever had over the course of any summer, preparing for this year, and especially implementing all of the 2.0 wiki blog podcast stuff and coming up with all these new programs and developing all these ideas, I think that somewhere in there I forgot about the kids. And this video that she showed just shook me up. It brought me back to where I wanted to be, where I all think we should be. And seeing, you know, she introduced it as, here's the video that, or the reason why I started teaching, or what brought me into teaching, or something like that. And I tell you, I think it did that for me. It brought me back to why I got into this profession. And I tell you, I think I'm going to start stumbling here with my words. I'm losing focus here. I apologize. But I might even start repeating myself over and over and over again. But, you know, at least one person walked out of that auditorium today, me, inspired in a new and enlightened, and I walked out refreshed. And after that darn video ended, I wanted to just walk up to her and give her a hug and say, you know, thanks. I mean, that's why you're Teacher of the Year. It's not because I know I read it earlier at the end of last year. I don't remember all of the specifics and why she was chosen. But whatever the new programs she did and whatever the new curriculum items she did, or I know she's starting a new drama club, you know, that's not the stuff that we teach for. I think that whether or not we implement 10 new programs a year, whether we get the $50,000 grant to do some big, exciting technological extravaganza, or whether we just sit in our classroom and tell stories to the kids every day, I think that, well, for at least me, the one thing that I want to know I'm doing is inspiring a kid to do something. No, that's just not the right words. I don't know what the right words would be. And, I mean, that's what she did today. And I am sure that that is the true reason why she was chosen as Teacher of the Year. And I don't know her very well. I don't know her at all, really. But I'm sure that if she could affect me like that, and shoot, I mean, sick, maybe she was up there for 5 minutes. I can only imagine being in her classroom every single, and she's elementary school, so imagine being in that classroom for 6 hours a day for 186 days a year. It's got to be some mucho impact there, and that's pretty cool, I think. So, Karen, if you're listening, I wanted to thank you and give you a big hug across the internet sphere here. You brought me back to where I want to be, and you inspired me to be a little bit better, I guess. And, all right, I apologize, folks. That was, I think I lost my train of thought somewhere in there. I don't know. But what I ended up doing is I did go on the internet and type in 3 questions and by Leo Tolstoy, and I found the story that she was referring to. Actually, she was referring to a story that someone wrote that was based on the story by Leo Tolstoy, and I believe that it was written specifically for children. That one is obviously not available. It's brand new, so, and that's a book that, you know, obviously for copyright reasons. But Leo Tolstoy's original story was available, and if you don't mind, I'd like to end the podcast by reading the story, 3 questions, which I am definitely going to incorporate this story into my class next week. We have school Thursday and Friday, and then we come back for Tuesday through Friday next week, and I'm going to definitely incorporate this. I'm not sure exactly how first. I might throw out on the blog, I might put the 3 questions out onto the blog that are in this story and have each kid answer them, possibly not even referring to the story. And I probably, you know, maybe I'll just do that. I'll put the 3 questions out, and then on the day that they're due, maybe next Friday, we'll start off class by reading, maybe looking at their answers and then reading this story. So, without any further babbling here, this is the story, 3 questions by Leo Tolstoy. One day it occurred to a certain emperor that if he only knew the answers to 3 questions, he would never stray in any matter. What is the best time to do each thing? Who are the most important people to work with? What is the most important thing to do at all times? The emperor issued a decree throughout his kingdom announcing that whoever could answer the questions would receive a great reward. Many who read the decree made their way to the palace at once, each person with a different answer. In reply to the first question, one person advised that the emperor make up a thorough time schedule, consecrating every hour, day, month, and year for certain tasks, and then follow the schedule to the letter. Only then could he hope to do every task at the right time. Another person replied that it was impossible to plan in advance and that the emperor should put all vain amusements aside and remain attentive to everything in order to know what to do at what time. Someone else insisted that by himself the emperor could never hope to have all the foresight and competence necessary to decide when to do each and every task, and what he really needed was to set up a council of the wise and then to act according to their advice. Someone else said that certain matters required immediate decision and could not wait for consultation, but if he wanted to know in advance what was going to happen, he should consult magicians and soothsayers. The responses to the second question also lacked accord. One person said that the emperor needed to place all his trusted administrators, another urged reliance on priests and monks, while others recommended physicians. Still others put their faith in warriors. The third question drew a similar variety of answers. Some said science was the most important pursuit, others insisted on religion, yet others claimed the most important thing was military skill. The emperor was not pleased with any of the answers, and no reward was given. After several nights of reflection, the emperor resolved to visit a hermit who lived up on the mountain and was said to be an enlightened man. The emperor wished to find the hermit to ask him the three questions. Though he knew the hermit never left the mountains and was known to receive only the poor, refusing to have anything to do with the persons of wealth or power. So the emperor disguised himself as a simple peasant and ordered his attendants to wait for him at the foot of the mountain while he climbed the slope alone to seek the hermit. Reaching the holy man's dwelling place, the emperor found the hermit digging a garden in front of his hut. When the hermit saw the stranger, he nodded his head in greeting and continued to dig. The labor was obviously hard on him. He was an old man, and each time he thrust his spade into the ground to turn the earth, he heaved heavily. The emperor approached him and said, "I have come here to ask your help with three questions. When is the best time to do each thing? Who are the most important people to work with? And what is the most important thing to do at all times?" The hermit listened intently, but only patted the emperor on the shoulder and continued digging. The emperor said, "You must be tired. Here, let me give you a hand with that." The hermit thanked him and handed the emperor the spade, and then sat down on the ground to rest. After he had dug two rows, the emperor stopped and turned to the hermit and repeated his three questions. The hermit still did not answer, but instead stood up and pointed to the spade and said, "Why don't you rest now? I can take over." But the emperor continued to dig. 1 hour passed, then two, and finally the sun began to set behind the mountain. The emperor put down the spade and said to the hermit, "I came here to ask if you can answer my three questions, but if you can't give me any answer, please let me know so that I can get on my way home." The hermit lifted his head and asked the emperor, "Do you hear someone running over there?" The emperor turned his head, and they both saw a man with a long white beard emerge from the woods. He ran wildly, pressing his hands against a bloody wound in his stomach. The man ran toward the emperor before falling unconscious to the ground, where he lay groaning. Opening the man's clothing, the emperor and hermit saw that the man had received a deep gash. The emperor cleaned the wound thoroughly and then used his own shirt to bandage it, but the blood completely soaked it within minutes. He rinsed the shirt out and bandaged the wound a second time and continued to do so until the flow of blood had stopped. At last, the wounded man regained consciousness and asked for a drink of water. The emperor ran down to the stream and brought back a jug of fresh water. Meanwhile, the sun had disappeared and the night air had begun to turn cold. The hermit gave the emperor a hand in carrying the man into the hut, where they laid him down on the hermit's bed. The man closed his eyes and lay quietly. The emperor was worn out from the long day of climbing the mountain and digging the garden. Leaning against the doorway, he fell asleep. When he rose, the sun had also risen over the mountain. For a moment, he forgot where he was and what he had come here for. He looked over to the bed and saw the wounded man also looking around him in confusion. When he saw the emperor, he stared at him intently and then said in a faint whisper, "Please forgive me." "But what have you done that I should forgive you?" the emperor asked. "You don't know me, your majesty, but I know you. I was your sworn enemy, and I had vowed to take vengeance on you, for during the last war you killed my brother and seized my property. When I learned that you were coming alone to the mountain to meet the hermit, I resolved to surprise you on your way back and kill you. But after waiting a long time, there was still no sign of you, so I left my ambush in order to seek you out. But instead of finding you, I came across your attendants, who recognized me, giving me this wound. Luckily, I escaped and ran here. If I hadn't met you, I surely would have been dead by now. I had intended to kill you, but instead you saved my life. I am ashamed and grateful beyond words. If I live, I vow to be your servant for the rest of my life, and I will bid my children and grandchildren to do the same. Please grant me your forgiveness." The emperor was overjoyed to see that he was so easily reconciled with a former enemy. He not only forgave the man, but promised to return all the man's property and to send his own physician and servants to wait on the man until he was completely healed. After ordering his attendants to take the man home, the emperor returned to see the hermit. Before returning to the palace, the emperor wanted to repeat his three questions one last time. He found the hermit sowing seeds in the earth they had dug the day before. The hermit stood up and looked at the emperor. "But your questions have already been answered." "How is that?" the emperor asked, puzzled. "Yesterday, if you had not taken pity on my age and given me a hand with digging these beds, you would have been attacked by that man on your way home. Then you would have deeply regretted not staying with me. Therefore, the most important time was the time you were digging in the beds. The most important person was myself, and the most important pursuit was to help me. Later, when the wounded man ran up here, the most important time was the time he spent dressing his wound, for if you had not cared for him, he would have died, and you would have lost the chance to be reconciled with him. Likewise, he was the most important person, and the most important pursuit was taking care of his wound. Remember that there is only one important time and is now. The present moment is the only time over which we have dominion. The most important person is always the person with whom you are, who is right before you. For who knows if you will have dealings with any other person in the future. The most important pursuit is making that person, the one standing at your side, happy. For that alone is the pursuit of life. That is the story, Three Questions by Leo Tolstoy. That is a story and a message that is going to stick with me for a very long time. And I think I'm going to leave it right there. So, Karen, thank you very much. You made a huge impact in someone's life today, and I'm grateful for it. And again, if you've thank you for listening to another Turkey Crossing podcast. And once again, if you've made it this far, please leave a comment on whatever site you are listening from. I would appreciate any thoughts and suggestions and any comments on this podcast or any others. You can do that on iTunes or you can do that on the Podomatic site. I would appreciate that. So once again, thank you for spending your time with me. And check in a few days, and I'm going to have another one up here, hopefully. School's starting, might be a little busy. So thank you very much. Bye-bye.